This morning, the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. Here we have the inspired picture of a model mother. And like everything that's of God, the more closely you look at it, the more you'll see in it. There was a time in my Christian experience when I used to read a chapter in the Proverbs every day. I found it a very helpful exercise. There are 31 chapters, and of course this last one got missed every now and then until you came to a month that had the 31 days in the month, and then we read it. But there's no place that you'll find a greater concentration of practical instruction than in the book of Proverbs. I believe for the home, for married life, for the rearing of children, for business, for any of the various aspects of life, you will find what you need in the book of Proverbs. And these ancient words of wisdom that were given by inspiration of God, I believe you'll very often find the direction that you need when some question arises, some problem faces you, some decision must be made. You'll find the answer in the book of the Proverbs if you're well acquainted with it. And so, in the reading through this once a month, as the book of Proverbs once a month, you'll acquire that material which the Spirit of God can bring back to you at the needed time. But although one has read very frequently this 31st chapter, the more I look at it, the more I find, as in all of God's words and works, a perfection that is most beautiful. And I think we'll read the chapter together. Be nice to share in the reading this morning. Will you take the alternate verses, please? I shall begin with verse 1. Please join in heartily, and I believe it will bring a blessing to you. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheth her arms. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Give her the fruit of her hand, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I believe that in these verses from 10 on, where we have this model mother described, we have Solomon's tribute to his mother. There has been, of course, considerable discussion as to just who King Lemuel was. And Bible scholars and theologians have arrayed themselves on various sides of this problem. To me, it's simply his mother's name for. You remember Solomon had a number of names. His father called him Solomon. God sent and had him called Jedediah, beloved of the Lord. And I think we all know that mothers like to have names, shall I call them pet names, for their sons and their daughters. To me, that's just who Lemuel is here. And whether she didn't like the name Solomon, or what, it would be foolish and a waste of time for us to speculate. But at least to me, this is just the name that she called Solomon by Lemuel. And it's one of those names that lends itself to shortening. Sometimes, you know, a mother wants to get hold of her son in a hurry, and by the time she called him Jedediah, he'd be out of sight. But you can just imagine Lemuel, you could shorten that up to a very handy Lem, and he knew that mother wanted him. Now, these practical things come in very handy around a household. How mothers ever called some of their children in Old Testament days, I don't know. But I suppose that they didn't have quite the difficulty in pronouncing their names as we at this time do. But we certainly have instruction given by his mother to this son, this king, whom we can take to be Solomon or Lemuel. In the opening verses of the chapter, we have some very sound instruction given to this son by his mother. And I think it's just a little example of the sort of teaching and instruction that this king received throughout his earlier life from his mother. And then, in these last verses, from verse 10 on, you could look at it, as I've suggested, as Solomon's tribute to his mother, or, on the other hand, it could be a continuation of her instructions as to the kind of a woman he'd be very wise to marry. And I think that that comes in part of a mother's instruction. I don't believe at all in parents selecting the life's partner for their son or their daughter, as the case might be. I think that harm has been done in that respect. I believe that much unhappiness has been caused by that. If a person is going to live with another one all their life, they certainly ought to be the ones that at least make the final decision on. But on the other hand, parents have a solemn responsibility of advising and suggesting. And that advice isn't always followed. Those suggestions aren't always taken. But that doesn't absolve the mother or the father, the parents, of giving advice regarding the type of a person that their son or daughter should look for in a life's partner. I have learned just recently that they are matching people up now with Univac. That if you have the right number of holes in your personality, they'll find somebody else with the right number of holes in their personality, and the thing to do is to get together and live happily ever after. Well, I can tell you something a little better than Univac. You let the Lord pick your wife or your husband, as the case may be. The Bible says a good wife is from the Lord. And I knew an old preacher. He used to preach in our part of the country when I was a boy. He was an old Irishman, and he was a good preacher. But like all preachers, he had a few odd habits about him. And one was, he used to end a lot of his words with, He'd put an M in there. Well, you got accustomed after you listened to the old brother for a while, but sometimes the result was rather ludicrous. So the devil was always a devil unto him. And many a time I've heard the old brother say, a good wife's from the Lord, and a bad one's from the devil. And you could just tell by the motion of some men's throats that they were swallowing down a fervent amen. But whether this is the instruction given by the mother to Solomon, or whether it's Solomon's tribute to his mother, whichever way you want to look at it, you can find that which will really be a blessing and a benefit to you. For certainly, the more we look at this description in these verses, the more we see what a most commendable mother this one is. And I think that every mother, deep down in her heart, has the desire to be the mother that God wants her to be. Just as every father has the desire in his heart to be the father God wants him to be. And whichever might be the case, as we look at the divine ideal, it helps us to measure ourselves and to see just where we're coming short. Every mother has her strong points. Most mothers have their weak points as well. And every real mother wants to strengthen her weak points as well as continue in her strong ones. Now, I'm impressed with the fact that, first of all, in this picture, shall we call it, of this model mother, she is first of all spoken of as a virtuous woman. Now certainly, there are virtues in a mother that one expects to find. And there are virtues in a mother that have a tremendous influence and effect upon the family. The longer I live, the more I'm impressed with a tremendous influence and the effect that a mother has upon the family. Now, some of that influence is wielded by what she says, and we'll notice that emphasized. But I believe that much more is by just what she is. Those virtues that are in her, that are not paraded, that are not spoken of, but nevertheless have a tremendous influence upon the children the family, as the little ones come on the scene, then as they begin to grow up, I believe that the influence of a mother on such is far-reaching throughout time and throughout all eternity. Now, there are always exceptions to everything except to the fact that you need to be born again. But you will find some very splendid mothers, mothers that I believe lived up to that which they were enabled by the grace of God, and yet, so sad to say, their children brought a great deal of grief and heartache to them. On the other hand, I have known some mothers who very evidently were not what they should have been. That's not being unkind to them or uncharitable at all, but they just simply were not. And yet, in spite of that, they had children that lived and grew up to the glory of God and the blessing of others. But I think it's these exceptions to the rule that even emphasize and underscore the rule. And certainly there are some virtues that should be found in every mother, but I believe, sad to say, are becoming increasingly absent in these days in which we live. Now, the virtues that I'm going to speak on this morning are to a great extent today considered old-fashioned. And so am I. But when you reach my age, it has very little effect on you for people to think of you or even call you old-fashioned. There are a lot of things that I'm happy and proud to be old-fashioned about. And there are some old-fashioned virtues that I think adorn a mother today as at all times. The first virtue, of course, we think of is morality. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that because tonight I want to speak on the subject that I believe needs to be spoken on, the tragedy of unmarried mothers. Now, it's a subject that isn't spoken about today, but I have strong convictions based on the Word of God regarding this, and I believe, against this beautiful background of a model mother, God would have us to speak on a tragedy that is increasingly becoming common in our country, the tragedy of unmarried mothers. So we'll pass over the virtue of morality, and then we come to another very necessary and lovely virtue in a mother, and that is honesty. Honesty. Honesty in word and honesty in action. My, how much a mother needs to be honest in everything. If a mother promises something to her children, she should be sure to give it to them. If she finds it impossible to do that, she should make just an honest explanation of her inability to do it. Because you can be sure, anything that we promise our children, they mark it down indelibly in their memory, except when we promise them a spanking. Then they try to forget that until the ordeal is over. But whether it be a gift or an act of discipline, I think that a mother destroys her influence over her children just as soon as they learn that mother doesn't mean what she says. But some of us had good old-fashioned mothers, and they meant what they said. If they promised us a cookie, we got a cookie. And if they promised us just one, that's all we got. And there wasn't any use of throwing a fit because we'd be throwing something else in a little while. You got one cookie, Mother promised it. If she promised us a paddling, we got it. Just as sure as the cookie. And that was a good thing. Oh, we just knew you could depend on Mother. If Mother said she was going to be there, she was there. If she said she couldn't be there, then you could not expect to see her there. Honestly. And yet today, I think in many ways, parents are destroying their children's confidence in them. I saw two incidents this past week. I wasn't thinking at all about this message, but I saw a mother with her daughter going through one of our better class stores here, and she stopped at the cosmetic counter, and she picked up a bottle of, I would judge, expensive perfume, and she just helped herself to it, and then put it back and went on merrily on her way. And I thought to myself, now if that girl grows up to be a shoplifter, who's to blame? The mother. She saw her mother take something she didn't pay for. Or you say, what does a whiff of perfume mean? It's not the amount of a thing. It's the principle of a thing. And that little girl had eyes. You can be sure of that. And if she didn't ask her mother about it, you can be sure she thought about it. Then just last night, I happened to be parked my car in a supermarket parking lot, and I saw a father get out of a car and go across into the yard of other people and clean off practically every red rose there was on a bush. And he came back again grinning like a Cheshire cat. And he thought he'd done something wonderful. And he had two little boys with him. And they were quite proud of their father. And they were marching along behind him. And he came to, I judge it, to be his mother. She looked considerably older than he. Although he was old enough to have more sense than that. And he presented her with this quite large bouquet of red roses. Well, I know what my mother would say. She said, Harold, where'd you get that? And if I'd have said I got it and over in the neighbor's front yard, well, I'd have got those roses all right. And I'd have been rosy, too, for quite a little while. But I thought, now there's those poor little boys. Those boys are going to be running into other people's yards and taking what doesn't belong to them. And who's to blame? The father is. Or say, what's a few roses? It isn't the thing, it's the principle of it. And we, as parents and mothers, with our tremendous influence on boys and girls, a rising generation, need to have these old-fashioned virtues of morality and of honesty, so that children growing up will realize that they are not to take what doesn't belong to them. What it is, it's quite immaterial. It's the principle of the thing, taking a thing that doesn't belong to you, taking a thing that you don't pay for. I think another very nice virtue to be seen in a mother, and there's so many I must pass them all, is consideration for other people. You know, it seems to me that that is dying out. There's so very little consideration nowadays for other people. And if we see that increasing in the rising generation, can we not take a lot of our responsibility to ourselves? Can we not accept a great deal of blame, mothers and fathers? How we should have these virtues. And as Solomon thinks about this, he puts it right at the very top of the list. And he says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Let's seek to cultivate these virtues. And thank God for those virtues that we have seen in our mothers, and that had at some measure at least of influence and effect upon us. I think if you read down the following verses, without summarizing them, many of the details applied to that long ago day, and to another land, and to the customs and needs of that day and that land, but you can write over these verses that follow, this mother that he is praising here was not only virtuous, but she was industrious. And certainly, if there is any hard-working class left in the world today, it's that of mothers. I'm sure that to be the mother God intends one to be is just real, plain, hard work. And you know, let me say this. I believe it's because of that that, sad to say, many today are shirking their responsibility as mother. There is not the glamour to the work of a mother that there is to some other things, but on the other hand, there is real work, and many are not ready to accept that. And I think that is the trouble with a lot of marriages today. That there are those who get married and they still want to be the kind of butterfly that they were before. Well, God help the man who gets married to a butterfly. He'll have to provide all the honey, and he'll find there'll be nothing left. But to become a mother means to take the responsibility entailed in it, which means a great deal of just plain, ordinary, hard work. But I believe that God is going to honor all such mothers. I remember reading one time of a mother, a Christian mother who was dying. And her little boy was by her bedside. And he noticed that she seemed unhappy. And of course he was unhappy too. And he said, "Mommy, what's the trouble?" She said, "Well, son, mother's going to die." But he said, "Mommy, you're saved, aren't you?" "Yes, I'm saved, son. And I'm not worried about that." "Well, why are you unhappy?" "Well," she said, "son, I've been saved so many years. And I just feel I don't have anything to show to the Lord for all the time I've been saved." You know what the little boy said? He said, "Mommy, why don't you show him your hands? Why don't you show him your hands?" And I'll tell you, I believe that the work-worn hands of many a mother is going to bring a real reward from our God in the coming day. I believe he has a lot more respect, and there'll be a lot more recompense for hands that have been worn in caring for the family than for some beautifully manicured hands that have refused to accept the responsibilities of the home and the household. So this was an industrious mother. Yes, and not only that, but her mouth was what it should be. I've come to the conclusion that one of the most important things about a mother is her mouth. And I believe a mother's mouth can make or can ruin a family. But out of the mouth of this one there came two things. Wisdom and kindness. How often a mother feels the need of wisdom. When you have been asked those questions by your children, haven't you felt the need of wisdom? You have, because I think it's much easier to answer the questions of an adult than of an inquiring child. To give them an answer that is true, but they'll never find as false, and yet an answer at their level that they can understand and take in. Yes? How much wisdom is needed in answering the questions and instructing the children? Somewhere recently I was reading about a father, and he would read the bedtime Bible story to his little girl. And he didn't mind doing that, but she wanted the same one over and over again. Well, he got a little bit tired of that. They thought, well, now we're living in the electronics age. Why don't I just get my tape recorder? And so he recorded the story and played it when she wanted her bedtime story. And then one night she said, Daddy, will you read me my story? He said, well, what about the tape recorder? It's just the same. It's my voice. Why don't you like it anymore? Well, she said, you know, Daddy, you can't sit on its lap. Now, there's a child. There's what a child wants. Listening to the tape recorder is the second best, a poor second best. But it had no lap to sit on. But sitting in the lap of a mother, and we're talking about mothers today, listening to sound instruction from that mother is the very best child training you can possibly find in all the world. And blessed is that child who knows what it is to sit in the lap of a Christian mother and listen to words of wisdom. But says the law of kindness is in her mouth. Not just kind words, but the law of kindness. Well, what is law? Law is what you're ruled by. I take it then that this woman not only said kind words, but she was controlled by that very law of kindness in all her dealings with and words to her family. And what a wonderful thing that is. Sometimes you meet some children, and they have some ugly dispositions. And I used to wonder where they got them until I met their mother. Then when I heard the way she talked to her children, it had been a miracle of God's grace if children had grown up without being ugly. The way they're talked to sometimes nowadays, now I believe in firm talk, I believe in straight talk. I don't believe in this nonsense of letting children talk back to you or have the last word, unless that last word is ouch. That's a good one to stop any arguments between parents and children. But I don't believe in this unkind, nasty, rough way that you hear even some mothers talking to children. What's it going to do? It's going to warp those children. Child, and how we need to pray to God the law of kindness may be in our lips. But thank God there is compensation for this, and we can't close this without reading again that verse. What is it? Verse 28? Because for everything that we do that is right, everything we do that's honoring to God, there is compensation. Her children arise up and call her blessed. I'm sure that many and many a mother's heart today is going to be cheered by the tribute of her children. And if I were talking to the young people, I would tell them that you mothers appreciate even more than the gift they may have saved up and bought for you. You appreciate that. Or the flower that they so proudly wear today. I would tell the young people this. You know what your mother appreciates more than anything? If you would just go to her and say, Mother, I love you. Thank you for what you've done for me. That's a wonderful compensation to any mother I know. And I just love to see young people developing that spirit of gratitude. Some of us can't do it. Our mothers are in heaven. But I hope we said it before they went. Just in a simple, genuine way, because until one becomes a mother themselves, or a father, they don't know just how much goes into being a real mother or a real father. And not only that, but it says her husband also, he prays with her. That's a nice tribute to a mother the mother of our children, when we are able to praise them and to thank them for their sincere hearts for what they have done for the children that we share together in the bringing into this world and in the caring for. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful. Now, favor here is gracefulness. I believe it applies to the physical charms of a woman. Favor, gracefulness, is deceitful. Now, it's nice to see a graceful woman. God has given grace to women that He hasn't given to men. I don't think you describe many of us men as being graceful. But there are some very graceful women. God has given them that as part of their female beauty. And it's a lovely thing when it's rightfully used. But it says here that gracefulness is deceitful. And you can apply that in any way you want to. But you know, one of the most graceful things that's around us is that which slithers along on the ground. A snake. Did you ever watch it? Nothing more graceful in its movements. And sometimes human gracefulness is merely the hiding of a snake-like nature. Beauty, it says, is vain. But she that, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she should be praised. We're living in days when there's great emphasis upon beauty of face and form. Gracefulness and beauty, as it's called here. There's a tremendous emphasis on it. Now, God is the God of the beautiful. Sometimes we get it wrong. You look at nature. Why, there's nothing more beautiful than flowers, birds, trees and that. Everything that God has made is beautiful. Everything's distorted as the result of the fall. God is a lover of beauty. And when God gives beauty to a human being, when it's of God, it's a lovely thing. But it's to be used rightly. That's the trouble. Human beauty is so often prostituted to ends that are not for the glory of God. And on the other hand, when that beauty that God has given is attempted to be replaced or substituted by man-made beauty, to me it's kind of a pitiful thing. You can't substitute, mothers, the beauty that God gives you at the cosmetic counter. But the beauty that God gives you is something to cherish and something to use for His glory. But there's something greater than that. The woman that feared the Lord, a God-fearing mother that lives in the fear of God and brings the family up under the influence of that, is certainly going to be praised for time and for all eternity. My word to you, mothers, and I love everything connected with a home and with a family. My word to you, dear mothers, is this. Cultivate the fear of God. Let me tell you this, you'll be unusual. There isn't too much of it around. But it has its compensations. It has its rich rewards, both in time and for all eternity. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege this day of meeting together. We are thinking particularly today of Mother within the framework of Thy Holy Word. We thank that Thou hast told us a great deal in Thy Word about mothers, and Thou hast given wonderful examples in the inspired pages. Many of us today amongst those who rise up and call our mothers blessed, whether they be in the past or still with us, whether they be the mother that bore us or the mother that bore our children, we thank thee that many of us can bless them and thank God for them, either for their memory or for their presence. And we know that mothers get discouraged, Father, at times. We know that there are heartaches, there are griefs, and we commend them to thee, that thou, the God who understands and appreciates, will comfort and encourage and enable them to go on in this path that thou hast given to them to tread. And we pray thee, Father, that each one of us this day may have more than words for those who are thus so precious to us. Dismiss us with thy blessing, we ask, in the peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.